I saw that movie, The Passion of the Christ, when it came out at, 2005, I think it's when it was?
04.
04. I was actually, I had friends that liked it, some who didn't like it, depending on what denomination you come from or anything, but I was one of the people who really appreciated the filmmaking. In college, I was a radio, television, film major, so I was watching the movie for how they put it together. I liked the editing. I liked the way the story came alive in the screen and how the emotions just really brought it out in the audience, because it was powerful filmmaking. But I also didn't think that it was a movie that everyone should see. Some of my friends said that if you're a Christian, you must see this movie. And I was like, no, it's still a movie. It's one director's vision of how this all goes. And it was powerful for me on many different levels. But it wasn't a movie that you had to see. It wasn't a movie that if you didn't see it, you didn't love God or anything like that. I liked the movie, but I also recognize that many people found it very difficult to see that, or to see like the suffering so glorified in a movie. We still preach. We preach Christ crucified, but we preach Christ resurrected, which is so much more important. And the life that Jesus brings is so much a part of our theology about the whole narrative of the Bible of God redeeming Jesus coming back to life. Jesus said that I came to give you life. And this morning's Bible reading is a really long one, and it brings up some of the memories of that movie. But as I remember that movie, and some of it was really, really gruesome, I find myself wanting there to be more than just that memory from the movie. Some of my friends just hated it. They're like, oh, it's great Hollywood. And then I didn't feel about it that way. Some of my friends just felt like it shouldn't have even been made, and I didn't think that either. But I do find myself sometimes looking and seeing these gruesome images in my mind from the movie and wanting there to be more to it, not just the gruesome. And even, let's kind of take those images and put them into context, or not have them so fresh in my mind. And maybe I've got it, because in this week's reading, this really long reading, there are so many different pieces of the puzzle, so many different parts of the story. For instance, I'm going to just read through the things that are in this reading, and then I'm going to read it and tell you where the parts are, just in case you didn't catch it. And this is one of those Sundays where it'd be great to have your Bible open so you can kind of follow along, because it lasts a long time there. But there's conspiracy. There's anointing. There's premeditated betrayal. There's Passover preparation. There's Jesus predicting his betrayal. There's the Last Supper. There's predicting that the disciples would fail. There's Jesus praying while the disciples slept. There's Judas betraying, Jesus being arrested, and the disciples fleeing. There's a streaker. What? There's a streaker in the Bible. You're going to have to pay attention today. You're like, where's the streaker part? I don't care about anything else. Where's the streaker? It's really in there. There's Jesus before the high priest. There's Peter denying Jesus. There's Barabbas. You remember the name Barabbas? There's Jesus mocked as a king. There's Simon the Cyrene carrying the cross. There's Jesus being crucified. There's the curtain in the temple being torn in two. There's the soldier who got it. There's the women who watched. And then there's a guy named Joseph of Arimathea and the tomb. Let's listen. Follow along if you desire. Mark 14:1 through 15:47, starting with conspiracy. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and to kill him. For they said, not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people. There was anointing. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. There's premeditated betrayal. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to look for an opportunity to betray him. There's Passover preparation. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover? So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is my guest room where I might eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. There's Jesus predicting his betrayal. So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came in with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They began to be distressed and say to him and to one another, surely not I. He said to them, it is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born. Then there's the Last Supper. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, take, this is my body. And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them. All of them drank from it. He said, this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink new in the kingdom of God. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus predicting the disciples' failure. And Jesus said to them, you will all become deserters. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even though all become deserters, I will not. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said vehemently, even though I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all of them said the same. And Jesus prayed while the disciples slept. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. He said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. He came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went and prayed and sang the same words, and once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough, the hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Judas betrays. Jesus arrested. The disciples flee. Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I would kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted and fled. Here's the part you were waiting for, the streaker. A certain young man was following him wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. It's right there. Jesus before the high priest. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witness? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your decision?" All of them condemned him to death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, to strike him, saying, "Prophesy!" The guards also took him over and beat him. Then Peter denies Jesus. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You were also with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what it is you are talking about." Then he went out into the forecourt, and the cock crowed. Bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man you are talking about." And at that moment the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. Then there's Jesus before Pilate. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. And there's Barabbas. Now the festival, he used to release. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now there was a man called Barabbas who was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to this custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd and gave him a crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead of Jesus. Pilate spoke to them again. "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then there's Jesus mocked as a king. So then the soldiers led him to the courtyard in the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Then there's Simon the Cyrene carrying the cross. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then Jesus crucified. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide which each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him said, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their hands and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests along with the scribes were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe." And those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until about 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come down to take him." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The curtain in the temple torn in two. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Then there's a soldier who understood. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." And the women who watched. There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. And Joseph of Arimathea and the tomb. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate wondered if he was already dead, and summoned the centurion and asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph brought a linen cloth
And taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. There's a theme that runs through this whole reading. It's people sometimes doing good things, and other times people doing bad things. There's good people doing the wrong things, and there's people we don't see as good doing good things. There's people reaching out with compassion and people turning away in disdain. There's women and men devoted to Jesus who are living out their convictions. And there's the same also failing miserably. And through all of it, Jesus loves each of them. Through all their successes, through all their failures, giving, taking, devotion, disdain, Jesus in this story was in anguish. And a centurion saw God in him. See, this long reading, it's a story about death. At least it's a story that culminates in death. But the story, really, it's about life. It's about the life that we anticipate as we prepare for Easter next week, as we prepare to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. The events leading up to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, they're known as the Passion of the Christ. It's the last week of Jesus' life, these events. Passion, not in this passion, like I have passion for this. It's the suffering. It's the journey that Jesus was on through that last week. The Passion of the Christ, it's moving. It's engaging, but you know, it's life-changing. So much in there. Jesus loving the people in the story when they succeed. Jesus loving the people in the story when they fail. Jesus loving the people when they act with disdain. Jesus loving the people who are His bitter enemies and His strongest allies. It fits the meta-narrative. It fits the theme of the Bible, of God saying, I redeem, I reconcile, I forgive. And we so often get it wrong. And we hardly ever get it right. And in this reading, this story filled with all of these different images, I kind of see those gruesome images of the movie start to fade. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you that we have reason to celebrate. And thank you that we can remember Jesus' journey. And we can remember that your love knows no bounds. Amen.